Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The collect of the day is a short prayer that we pray before the scripture readings. Since we went to the smaller bulletin format, I hadn't been including it, although I changed the template to start adding it, and so you see it in today's bulletin. In a sense, the collect collects the emphasis of the scripture lessons, and then it makes requests to God. Most of these collects have been prayed in the church for many centuries, going back to before the time of the Reformation. And such a blessing it is for the church to continue to keep on praying those things that the saints who have gone before us have also prayed. A great blessing that these short prayers are part of the divine service. The order to most collects is this. First, they address God. So God is called upon, God is named. Second, they state something about God. So he is described. Third, the collect makes a petition or a request to God for something. And then fourth, the collect describes the outcome of the desired outcome of that petition. And then finally, the collect terminates by naming God the Holy Trinity who lives forever. Today's collect addresses God as Almighty God. And then the collect states what God does, a description of him, that God shows those in error the light of his truth so that they may return to the way of righteousness. And then we made our petition, we made our request in that prayer. That collect, by the way, is prayed before the Old Testament lesson. And in this we petitioned that God would grant faithfulness to all who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's church. And then the desired outcome is that Christians may, as we prayed, avoid whatever is contrary to their confession and follow all such things as are pleasing to God. You see, God does not want us to be in darkness, but he wants us to be illumined in the light of his word through his Son. God wants us to turn from our wicked ways and to walk in the ways of righteousness as he instructs us. God wants us to abide in the truth of God, not in the ways or the wisdom of the world. And so God sent his Son so that we may become the righteousness of God, so that we could be saved from our many sins, and so that we could, by the grace of God, be numbered among the saints. The verses right before our epistle lesson attest to this. St. Peter said in the two or three verses before our epistle that we were once not a people, but now we are a people of God. We once had not obtained mercy, but now we have God's mercy. We were called out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people. That's who we are as Christ's holy church. And what a blessing that God describes this of his children, of us who are sinners but yet have been illumined in the gospel, that God has done this for us despite our sin. Yet as I'm sure your own experience reveals, your flesh keeps on rearing its ugly head. You will find yourself to be tempted to do all sorts of evil. You'll find words and phrases and thoughts in your minds now making its way to the tongue and out into the air. As Peter declares, our flesh wages against our souls. And so in our epistle, Peter gives us all kinds of instructions because we are tempted to listen to our flesh rather than walking in the way of godliness. Peter teaches us to have honorable conduct even when we are around those who do not know Christ. We don't just join in and be like the guys, but our conduct is to be honorable at all times. We are to also obey the government, and he instructs us to use the freedom we have in the gospel not to serve as a cover-up for evil, but to instead live as servants of God. After all, we prayed that God would grant us faithfulness, that we may avoid whatever is contrary to our confession and follow those things that are pleasing to God. Now, left to our own, we would not be able to fulfill this prayer that we have prayed. Left on our own, we would be unable to do what Peter instructs in our epistle. Because of the weakness of our flesh, the brokenness of our fallen nature, because we fail at resisting our sinful flesh and temptations. Therefore, we cannot make temptation to go away. And left on our own, we would be filled with sorrow. But that is why Jesus came, in order to fulfill the law in our place, to set aright that which we could not do, and to earn our eternal salvation. And so, leaving his throne from above, he came down to earth. He was born of a virgin to redeem those who are under the law. Jesus came to bear our sin in his own body so that he could go to the cross and pay for all the sins of the entire world. In this, our Savior Jesus is reconciling man to God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus gives us access to our Father in heaven, and he makes it possible for us mortal sinners to live to all eternity. In today's gospel, or really throughout his discourse on Maundy Thursday, Jesus speaks of what he must do for our salvation. In our gospel today, Jesus is with his disciples. It's Maundy Thursday. He's already instituted the Lord's Supper. He had already stated, "Arise, let us go from here," two chapters earlier when he was with them in the upper room. And so they may still be in the upper room. They may be on their way to the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus would pray and his disciples will fall asleep and then Jesus will be arrested to be crucified. But in these words of our gospel, Jesus speaks of his upcoming crucifixion and how this would affect his disciples when they no longer see him in a little while. That sorrow will fill their hearts. But then he says, in a little while you will see me again, and their sorrow will be turned to joy. Already that same evening, they will begin to see the fulfillment of Jesus' words, because they will watch our Savior be arrested in the garden, and then they will witness that overnight trial that they put him on among the chief priests and the elders of the people. They'll witness him being handed over to Pontius Pilate, to the government, for trial on Friday morning. They will witness his beating. They will see him take the cross to Golgotha, where he would be crucified, and sorrow will fill their hearts. But then, in a little while, they will witness something absolutely amazing and spectacular. Just as they had seen the body of Lazarus be raised from the dead, a death which they had not witnessed, they will now witness the resurrection of Christ, whose body they saw without form or comeliness, the body that they had seen nailed to the cross, and their anguish, which they had experienced for witnessing the crucifixion, will then be turned to joy, for they will see the resurrected Christ, and they will be with him. They'll eat breakfast with him. They'll spend time with him between his resurrection and his ascension. And what's important to understand is that when Jesus rose from the dead, he did not just rise spiritually, but he rose bodily. In his incarnation, human nature was joined to his divine nature, and he had a body. And so, Jesus, when he rises from the dead, he rises bodily, and he has that human body even now. This is important for us to realize as Christians. All around us, we see death and decay. We can go out to the cemetery and see our loved ones' graves. We put to rest our loved ones at the cemeteries. And in this Easter message, we learn something important, that those bodies that we have laid to rest in their graves at the cemeteries do not end in death. But instead, just as Christ, Jesus himself, rose bodily from the grave, so shall we. You see, God did not create Adam and Eve as spirits, but he created them as humans with a body and a soul. And so when Jesus returns in glory, he will raise all the dead and will do so bodily. We confess this truth in the creed. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. All who believe in Christ will receive the gift of everlasting life. They will be ushered into his eternal kingdom. But sadly, those who do not believe in Christ will receive the reward for their many sins and be punished eternally in hell. While we wait for Jesus to return, we live in a world that is filled with sorrow and hardship. While there are many joys to this life, for God has given us our bodies and our lives, he's given us our many possessions, he's given us many good things to experience, we still realize that this life is corrupted with sin and death. But just as the disciples' sorrow, which would have been deep, and I could not imagine being in their shoes, but then their sorrow turned to joy, so also does our sorrow turn to joy. Because Christ has not left us alone, but he continues to come and be our Emmanuel, God with us, who meets us with his gifts through the word and through the sacrament. He continues to shower us with his love and gives us his peace. He takes our sins away. He covers us with his very righteousness. He is present among us. And so, my dear friends, we have holy joy as God's dear children, whom Jesus purchased by his blood. We rejoice in these truths. We rejoice in what we have in Christ, and we want to guard these truths. We don't guard them by hiding them, keeping them from other people, but by repeating them without mixing God's truth with human opinion. Remember today's collect. Grant faithfulness that we may avoid whatever is contrary to our confession. We don't pray to be true or faithful to ourselves. because that is idolatry of the self. I know it's common for people to say that today or think that way, but think about what that end result would be. It's idolatry. Instead, we pray to be faithful to God because He's the one who made us, He redeemed us, and He sanctified us. And so to walk in His ways, we must always be asking ourselves what God's word teaches, what His will is, and how our devotion to Him may increase. God grants faithfulness through His word. That is, God's word works faith in us. God has also given us the visible word to work faith in us. The waters of holy baptism, we're united to Christ, we're added to His family, we're forgiven of our sins. We are God's own child. We are baptized into Christ. And God also strengthens us through Holy Communion. It was 7 years ago here at Grace that we recovered the practice of offering the Lord's Supper weekly. After having a Lenten series that year on the sacrament and much discussion in our congregation that began years before I arrived, the congregation began offering the Lord's Supper to God's people each week. It is a blessing to have this practice. You see, offering the Lord's Supper is fine pastoral care. By offering it weekly, we're following the historic practice of the church. You see, offering it less than weekly was actually an innovation that arose just a couple of centuries ago for various reasons. Our Lutheran confessions state that we retain the Lord's Supper each Sunday, and the pattern for church is set in Acts chapter 2, right after Pentecost, where it says that they devoted themselves, the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, which is communion, and to the prayers. This verse outlines faithfulness and following the way that is pleasing to our Lord. The angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner repents. And so when we go to the Lord's altar, we do so in repentance, desiring to be forgiven by our Savior. We kneel to receive His gifts, to commune with God and one another, to receive His body and blood for our peace. Consider what great joy it is to go to the altar and to commune with Christ. Joy that Christ speaks about in His resurrection. Joy that we have as we experience the benefits and receive the benefits of His own resurrection. Because the Lord's Supper is God's gift of the gospel, we don't turn it into law. No one is being force-fed to receive it too often. God's people are invited to receive it as often as they are ready and comfortable. And so we rejoice with those who go forward to receive it often, for they are receiving that body and blood of Christ for their forgiveness. God is strengthening their faith, and God is granting faithfulness to them. The disciples were sorrowful when they could not see their Lord, yet they were filled with joy when they saw Him again. We are also blessed to be in the presence of Christ, not only through His word, but also through His sacrament. It is my prayer that you may be filled with joy as you participate and partake in the sacrament frequently. Is this not the outcome that we prayed for in today's collect, as we Christians, as we prayed that Christians would follow all such things as are pleasing to God? It certainly pleases Him when we receive those wonderful and great blessings of God for our benefit, just as it pleases us when others receive the gifts that we give to them. God bless you as you continue to walk in the light of Christ and in the way of His righteousness. God bless you as you continue to rejoice in the resurrection of Christ for your salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.